I'm Nathan Cones here with your midday news for Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. Iowa farmers are heading into spring planting with middling conditions, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and its first crop progress and condition report of the 2026 season. For the week ending April 5th, producers had only 2.9 days suitable for field work, which focused primarily on field equipment preparations before planters start rolling. Many farmers are entering the season with a sense of trepidation as economic headwinds continue to weigh heavily on the ag sector. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says, as I travel the state, farmers confirm that they're feeling the pressure from a tough ag economy with high input costs and low commodity prices. Despite these challenges, spring represents a time of hope, optimism, and the potential for a productive season ahead. Widespread rainfall across most of the state stifled field work, but the precipitation was welcome to restore limited soil moisture following a warm and relatively dry winter. Topsoil moisture conditions rated 23% short to very short, 63% adequate, and 14% surplus. Corn and soybean planting was not yet at reportable levels statewide as of April 5th, matching last year's slow pace. Concerning crop insurance customers, the early plant date for corn is April 10th and April 15th for soybeans, so that's really the go date for both of those respective row crops. The statewide average temperature for the week was 48 degrees, about 4.4 degrees above normal, while weekly precipitation averaged 2.31 inches statewide. That's more than triple the normal total of 0.65 inches. The USDA Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report, its entirety, is available at nass.usda.gov. For the next month or so, crews from the city of Carroll will be undertaking the process of flushing rust and other detritus from water mains. Crews got to work on the exhaustive process Monday, which involved opening each of the city's 500 or so fire hydrants. This results in a high rate of water flow in the mains that'll break off any rust on the interior walls and remove it before it reaches consumers' taps. Crews will work on the flushing between the hours of 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. during the week, opening about 25 of the city's fire hydrants per day. Following the flushing, any resident that experiences rusty water colored, usually it's like a brownish reddish color, should contact the water division at 712-792-1000 so personnel can analyze and attempt to correct the issue. Generally speaking, when you see that, if you open your tap nearest to the main and let it run, it'll typically clear out on its own. The citywide main flushing initiative is projected to conclude in early May. A rural BNSF-owned bridge northwest of Dedham will be closed for an indeterminate amount of time after structural issues were identified by the railroad. According to county officials, the Mahogany Avenue Bridge, which sits about a half mile south of 290th Street, again just northwest of Dedham, is going to be closed to vehicle traffic until repairs can be completed. Because the crossing is not maintained directly by the county, it is unclear how long until the bridge will reopen. However, BNSF crews are currently evaluating the bridge and developing a repair timeline. Three locally made products have been nominated for the Iowa Association of Business and Industry's 2026 Coolest Thing Made in Iowa contest. Making this year's list are the Beer Caves from Lear Incorporated out of Carroll, the Arena Renegade basketball hoop produced by Jefferson-based AAI Spalding, and then Puck Enterprises WH7582 heavy-duty liquid transfer pump. Lear's walk-in coolers can be found at gas stations, grocery markets, and liquor stores throughout the Midwest and beyond, and serve to keep beverages cold for game day parties to days on the lake. Spalding's Arena Renegade hoops were featured on national television this past weekend during the NCAA Final Four tournaments and can be found in professional arenas around North America. Puck's WH7582 pump is capable of delivering over 150 PSI, moving 4,500 gallons of liquid manure per minute, which is just a remarkable volume. Public voting on the nominees is open through Tuesday, April 15th, when the field will be narrowed down to 16 products. From there, the companies will compete in a head-to-head bracket contest until the 2026 Coolest Thing Made in Iowa is crowned during ABI's annual conference in Coralville at the beginning of June. Participants and Iowans can vote up to four products per day throughout that first round. You can do that at coolestthingia.com. The Carroll County Board of Supervisors is moving forward with plans to implement a reserve deputy program for the Carroll County Sheriff's Office, but if approved, it would operate under a very limited scope. Sheriff Ken Pengree brought the proposed ordinance to the supervisors at their meeting yesterday. He says the office is interested in implementing the program to keep a recently retired deputy in their rotation. Pingree notes he's not particularly interested in having a roster of reserve deputies for the Carroll County Sheriff's Office, as it can often be challenging to vet potential applicants, maintain training and compliance, and keep up with equipment needs. Under the proposed ordinance, a reserve deputy would be paid on an hourly basis, which would help alleviate scheduling issues with the full-time deputies and cut back on the number of overtime hours the office needs to pay out. The supervisors were generally supportive of the proposal and unanimously voted to schedule the public hearing for the first reading on that new ordinance for 9 a.m. at the April 20th meeting, so in 2 weeks' time. Generally, ordinances require three readings before they go into effect, but the board could opt to waive the second and third readings to expedite the process. And we do need to take a quick break here now, folks. Stick around. More news on the way coming up after this on KCIM.
This is Carroll County Sheriff Ken Pingree. Opioids can manage pain, but they also carry serious risks. Addiction can happen to anyone at any age, often starting with a prescription. If you or someone you love is taking opioids, take steps to stay safe. Follow your doctor's instructions, never share medications, and store them securely. If pain continues or concerns arise, talk with your medical professional. Awareness saves lives. Learn the facts, start the conversation, and help protect our community. This message is brought to you by the Carroll County Opioid Settlement Fund Committee, committed to opioid awareness and prevention in our community.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. A U.S. Department of Energy expert says building a first-of-its-kind small modular nuclear reactor would likely cost around $4 billion and take up to 5 years to build here in Iowa. Michelle Zeitlow Miller briefed Governor Reynolds' Nuclear Energy Task Force on Monday morning. Zeitlow, who is the former director of maintenance at the Quad Cities Power Station, says federal tax credits can significantly reduce the cost once the plant's operating, but state investment tax credits claimed while the reactor is being built can make such projects possible. Zeitlow Miller says it's around 1,600 full-time employees would be required to operate a small modular nuclear reactor facility. And that's something that the state of Iowa is taking a hard look at following the launch of the Nuclear Energy Task Force by Governor Kim Reynolds at the beginning of 2026. Iowa's high school graduation rate has increased slightly. Numbers from the Iowa Department of Education show the four-year rate for 2025 is 88.8%. That's about half a percentage point higher. The department says it's the highest graduation rate in 5 years and the first time since 2020 that Iowa's graduation rate has exceeded pre-pandemic levels. The annual dropout rate for students in grades 9 through 12 was 2.3% in the 2024 and 25 school year, which was down from the nearly 2.6% rate last year and before the pandemic hit in the 2018 and 19 school year. A nonprofit that works to prevent and respond to child abuse and neglect says Iowa needs to do more to help. State data shows child abuse reports have dropped since 2022, but Danica Haas, who heads the Iowa chapter of Children's Advocacy Centers, says it's likely the abuse is just underreported. The nonprofit worked with schools to teach children about neglect, bullying, sexual abuse, and other safety concerns. Haas says Iowa should require body safety education in all schools, especially since the vast majority of children personally know their alleged offenders. A bill that would have required sexual abuse awareness education for K through sixth grade failed to advance in the Iowa legislature this year. Haas says child abuse happens in all 99 Iowa counties. Iowa is one step closer to requiring parental permission before a minor could book tanning bed sessions. The Iowa House voted to require written parental consent for their child to use a commercial tanning bed last year. On Monday, the Senate approved the bill, but removed a section requiring permission forms to include a cancer warning, so the House has to okay that change before the bill will head to the governor. Senator Art Staid of Cedar Rapids has been trying to get this policy passed for a decade.
Other states have acted. Iowa hasn't, and that's just not acceptable. We can't regulate the sun, but we can regulate harmful artificial exposure.
A month ago, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration dropped a proposal that would have banned teens from using tanning beds. Staid says that makes it important for the state to act.
Indoor tanning exposes young people to intense ultraviolet radiation that damages their DNA and increases the risk of melanoma, the deadliest form of skin cancer.
A Northwestern University study identified DNA changes in skin cancer patients who had used tanning beds. According to the National Institutes of Health, using a tanning bed just one time before the age of 35 raises your risk of developing melanoma by 75%. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at the midday news right here on KCIM. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.